There was a grandpa and a grandma sitting on the front porch right as the sun's going down, and they're remembering, they're reminiscing about old times. And grandma looks over at grandpa and says, "Do you remember our first date?" She goes, "You reached over and you held my hand." And grandpa kind of, you know, kind of gets a little red-faced, and he reaches over and he grabs grandma's hand. She goes, "Remember, after we'd been dating a while, you'd rub on my arm a little bit and give me a little squeeze." And grandpa kind of sheepishly said, "Yeah." And he reached over and he rubbed her arm and gave her a little squeeze. And she says, "You remember after we were engaged, you'd give me a kiss on the cheek and then a little peck on the lips." And he's like, "Oh, yeah." And he gives her a kiss on the cheek and gives her a little peck on the lips. And she just smiles, and they're just enjoying. She goes, "You remember after we were married?" "It's okay. After we were married, you would nibble on my ear every once in a while." And at that, he gets up and starts to go in the house. And she's like, "Where are you going?" He goes, "Got to go get my teeth. Got to remember this stuff." All right. How do you remember? How do you remember this stuff? I mean, there are things that are etched into our memories. There are things that we just don't forget. But there's other times when we have to be reminded of some of the things that occur. I mean, it's just part of life. You know, we used to take the teens. We would do these discovering God trips. And Karen came up with the coolest idea. We would get a binder, you know, just a spiral notebook. And wherever we were that first night, maybe it was driving in the bus or wherever we would go, we would have the kids write, "What was your favorite meal? What was your favorite sight? What was your favorite thing that you did? What was the worst thing that you would ever do?" And Kelsey would say, sleeping in a tent, right? That was one of her not so favorite moments. But they would write down their favorite things and the things that they loved. And when the trip was over, you know, we would kind of go through that. And sometimes a year later or 6 months later, they would look at that and go, "Oh, I totally forgot about that day," or "I forgot about that meal," or "I'm glad I forgot about that meal," or whatever. But you know, we oftentimes remember because of things we write down. Other things that we remember is like Karen does. She's a picture taker. I mean, we go on our vacations, and Karen is taking pictures. Now, these guys will all say, "Oh my goodness, another picture," kind of a thing. But what's amazing about that is when you go back to your vacation pictures and you just, all of those memories come back. I mean, you remember that moment. You remember that spot on the beach, or you remember that place in the mountains. And as they say, a picture paints a thousand words, or something along those lines. But pictures are a way to journal as well. So this morning, as we talk about spiritual disciplines, journaling comes up. And I want you to stretch your imagination a little bit, because there's a lot about journaling within Scripture. Now, there's not a command, right? There's nowhere in the Bible where God goes, "I want you to journal. I want you to write everything down." But it is interesting, isn't it, that when we look at the Bible, it is a journal. When you start thinking about it, we have these stories. We have all of these written things for our growth, for our spiritual encouragement, but for our remembrances, because somebody wrote them down. So the Bible itself is just this one big journal. And Moses and David and Ezra and many other writers put some stories in Scripture for us to remember. The story I want to remind you about this morning, though, is found here in Joshua chapter 4. Let me set it up for you, remind you. Moses is not allowed to take the people of Israel into the promised land. Moses is on his last legs, so to speak, and he turns it over to Joshua. So Joshua is now the leader of Israel. They are on the threshold of going into the promised land. 40 years they've been running around in this wilderness. For 40 years, you know, they're griping and grumbling and complaining and not believing that God was going to take care of them. All of that was in play. But now, 40 years later, fast forward, right on the edge. They're looking across the Jordan River at the city of Jericho, and that's where they're fixing to go in and conquer. If you remember in chapter 3, it tells us that the Jordan River was cresting. It was at its flood stage. So they have this huge river that they've got to cross, and God says, "I've got this. I'm going to do just like I did back for the other generation, just like when I parted the Red Sea and people can walk across on dry land. I'm going to do that to the Jordan River. And sure enough, God stops the river. They cross over on dry ground. And Joshua is told by God to put a memorial in place. I appreciate Jackson reading that for us a while ago. Actually, there's 5 Jacksons that go to church here. That's pretty crazy when you start thinking about that. That's cool. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. He said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So it's a journal, so to speak, because journals, when you write stuff down, they remind you of things that you've done, things that you've said, places you've went, sermons you've created. You know, I got my last journal that I wrote back in college. I don't journal the same way I used to. It's barely hanging in there. But I've got illustrations and sermon ideas and quotes and jokes. You know, just stupid jokes, but you know, most of mine are stupid. And so all of these quotes and different things that I wrote down and sermon ideas, and it's amazing to me how many of these ideas that I incorporated into lessons, into sermons, years later. My absolute last quote in my journal is, if you fall on your face, at least you're heading in the right direction. And that's a quote that has stuck with me forever, because it means, hey, you know what? I don't care how many times you fall on your face, at least you're moving forward. You're trying to take steps going forward. But journals, right? This journal is a different type of a journal. It's God's idea. I'll remind you that it's God's idea for the Israelites to put this memorial into place. God is good like that. He knows, because he created us, how easy it is for us to forget. Isn't it interesting how many feasts are in place in the Old Testament for the people of Israel to remember the different moments in their life where God says, hey, I want you to remember that. I want you to give to that. I want you to give your crops to that. I want you to celebrate a memory. I want you to never let these things be forgotten. As long as I am your God, I want you to remember these things. The Passover feast was God's idea, to remember the Passover of the Lamb. And then Jesus changes that Passover feast. We just participated in the Lord's Supper a moment ago, but it was written down and it was talked about, and Jesus said himself, I want you to do this to remember this night. Remember me. We are really, really good at forgetting. So I think it's important that we remember it's God's idea to remind us, to remind ourselves that we need to journal. We need to write some things down. Here's an article by a guy by the name of Ronald Klug. He wrote a book on spiritual journaling. And he wrote this: a journey or a diary is a day book, a place to record daily happenings. But it is far more than that. A journal is also a tool for self-discovery, an aid to concentration, a mirror for the soul, a place to generate and capture ideas, a safety valve for emotions, a training ground for the writer, and a good friend and confidant. I want to distinguish journal writing from diary keeping. Neither's wrong, but if we're going to practice the spiritual discipline of journaling, then I want us to see this as more than a daily diary. A journal is a record of my spiritual journey. It can contain my joys, my prayers, my laments, my impressions of God's place in my life, my questions to God, my concerns about various issues in life, and the list can go on and on. One of the beautiful aspects of journaling is that it gives you a record of your spiritual progress. I love what Klug says there, because it is interesting if we think about journaling, if we think about writing some things down, you find some maturity and maybe some immaturity in the things that you write. You find some impressionable things. Mine was more of a note-keeping type of a thing. I didn't really write a lot about my thoughts and my impressions. I did that when I lived in England. Every night before I went to bed, I had this incredible journal that did not get back. Still kills me to this day that I had this, you know, 400-page journal that I wrote every day about every thought and every, you know, new experience and places that we went, and somehow or another it didn't make it back on the plane, and that was kind of the last time I ever thought, I'm going to commit this to writing. So what I did is I took most of my journals and put them on those things called floppy disks. You know, I get to read those all the time now, so they're somewhere filed in some box somewhere far, far away. But my journaling is really now more found in my Bible writing lessons and in the notes that I keep and the things that I write on the side of sermons and ideas like that. And I come back to that, and I do backup discs and backup, you know, memory sticks, and so that we won't lose all of those things. But a journal is really a way in which we can write down our thoughts and our impressions about certain things. You know, the book of Psalms is just an incredible journal, you know. I mean, you've got David's, you know, laments, you've got David leaning on God, you've got David being sad, you've got other writers there in the Psalms as well, just really pouring their heart out. And we get to see that. So if we're ever, you know, sad about something, you can go find a psalm about sadness. If you're ever worried about something, you can find some psalms about worry, and it really helps you to realize, hey, I'm not alone. When you write your own journal, you can go back and you can remind yourself of times when you weren't doing so good and say, man, I can remember how I got out of that. Because you should be writing that down too. Or you remember because God did something special or sent a certain person in your life. It's amazing how God puts the right person at the right time in our life if we'll just kind of pay attention, you know, and God is good like that. It doesn't really matter what kind of mood you're in. There's a psalm or there's something in Scripture to help us deal with it. Whitney writes this about journaling. It's one of the best places for charting your progress. Here again, we see this idea of progress in your other spiritual disciplines and for holding yourself accountable to your goals. You can journal about your thoughts, your impressions, your reactions to practicing any of the other spiritual disciplines. Try fasting. Write down your experience with that or it. Try silence and solitude, and you can journal your experience with it. You can write down your experiences with any part of life in your journal. By doing this, we have an opportunity to look back and see where we've been and track our progress toward holiness and Christ-likeness. Tracking progress. How many of you guys put your kids' height on the inside door? I know you guys did because I remember seeing Sarah's when growing up, right? How many of you guys did that, right? You mark the height. And you go back, and it's so fun with the kids because you go, I was really that short. It's like, yeah, you're actually this big at one point in time. And you have to go back and see pictures, right? I mean, you kind of journal this physical growth process. That's what happens when you start writing some things down. It really helps you realize, man, I've come a long way. I have figured out some things. I'm growing as a spiritual person. And there's times when we look back on a year and go, woof, you know, that was a tough year. But when we forget, because we don't write things down, we forget a lot of the blessings of that year too. You know, we might, until somebody brings it up or somebody says something, go, hey, do you remember? And you're like, totally forgot about that. You know, I need to write that kind of stuff down. It's a wonderful way to track your spiritual progress. There's a guy, I don't know him, but I read about this. His name is Wayne Cordero, and he came up with an acronym to help you out with your Bible reading and journaling. When it just comes to just Bible reading and journaling, he says this will really help you in your progress. He calls it SOAP, S-O-A-P, SOAP. S stands for Scripture. So you read a Scripture, you read a passage of Scripture, and you take your time to allow God to speak to you through the verses, and you write down maybe the verse that spoke to you. You know, you might read 10 or 11, 12 verses. You might read 3 or 4. And one of those verses just kind of sticks to you personally. You're like, that's personal to me. So Scripture, S, you write that Scripture down. And then O, you observe. You could say meditating, so to speak, but you allow that Scripture, you observe it, and you kind of allow it to come to life in you, right? What do you think God's saying to you personally in this particular Scripture? I'm going to observe it. I'm going to open, you know, O for open my eyes to the power of the verse in my life. That's important too. And then the A is the most important part. He put application, I added action. Because sometimes you can apply it, but you don't do anything about it. So this application action part is, I see the verse, I understand what the verse is speaking to in my life. Now what am I going to do about it? I'm going to apply this verse in my life. I'm going to let this action occur. I need to fix this particular part in my life. I don't show God's glory in my life in this area. So I need to fix that. So I need to apply this verse and allow it to change me. And then P is important because it's prayer, right? Prayer. Ask God to help you use this scripture for His glory. You know, if you look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for training, for rebuking or reproving, for correction and for training in righteousness. So going back to the application part, is it for training purposes God gave me this verse? You know, is it to rebuke me, to make me realize, man, I got to fix that in my life. I'm not giving God glory in this area in my life. Is it for just training me so I can and do better in certain areas, or for correction? And so ask God to help you use that scripture or that application and ask His blessing on how that's going to work in your life. To clarify the passage, maybe, or to practice listening to what God is going to give. When we pray, oftentimes we forget the solitude and silence. You know, we talk to God and talk to God and talk to God, and then just keep going. It's like, whoo, slow down a second, let God answer. You know, see if God's answering you in certain areas of your life. That's pretty important. So, soap. I like that. I like that. There are different ways to journal. I just want us to understand that this morning, that some people aren't writers, but they are picture takers. Maybe you like to draw, and you might be able to draw a little something every night before you go to bed and write a word or two and code it. I like codes. I write myself my own codes, and I know what they mean, and other people look at it like it's weird and silly, but I get what I'm saying. Maybe you're a morning person. If you are, then journal in the morning. Maybe you're a nighttime person, then journal at night. There's no specific way to journal. There's ways to draw pictures. Some of you would want to write on paper. Some of you might want to just type on the computer. I would highly recommend if you type on your computer, you back that up. Otherwise, you lose a lot of that information. Or put it on something you know that's going to be useful 10 years or 20 years from now versus those floppy disks. They do make good Frisbees, though. We've had a blast with those things through the years. How about recording your thoughts? Some of you don't like to write. Maybe just get an old tape recorder. You know, they still have those, I'm pretty sure. I have one in my office. I know that there's at least one left in the world. Do what? I know. Well, that's my next thing, is you can use a tape recorder. You can actually use a video camera. We actually have one of those. It's about this big. And you have these things. Have you ever heard of VHS tapes? Those are, some of you guys heard of it. We've got one of those as well. Some of these kids are going, VHS, what is that? So you, however you want to do it, but the next thing I was going to say is your phone. The worrisome part about phones is a lot of times you can lose a lot of everything that you put on your phone. So I would also say back that data up. I know cloud, and I'm not technologically sound, but I don't trust anybody else to take care of all of my stuff, because floppy disks were, you know, pretty new and whatever. Never, I'm not going to say it. Anyway, they were supposed to be around for a long time, and they weren't. So there's lots of different ways for you to journal, and it's for you and no one else. It's not, you know, oh, I'm going to do this because Mike said it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea, but I think God's the one that gives us a precedent that says, hey, it's important for you to remember certain things. And I think, I don't know how you are, but I have a tendency to live more in the moment. Sometimes I forget about things that have just happened that are blessings. We have a tendency to look at this and say, you know, this situation, and go, wow, that's a negative. That's really not so good. And miss the last three or four positives because of that one negative. I know that's true because I can preach a sermon and get 25 compliments, and then one person could say, well, that really stunk, and I'm going to remember the stunk part and not all the compliments. Not that anybody's ever said that to me, ever, in the history of my life. But I'm just saying, if it occurred. But you know how it is. If we hear 50 good things and one negative, we have a tendency to hang on to that negative. I think when we journal and when we write down, we can remind ourselves, there's a lot of things God's blessing our life with. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of statements, there are a lot of encouragements that we sometimes forget about if we don't write them down. So that's what I'd like to encourage you to do. The purpose of journaling is to help you grow closer to God. It really is. It's to help you remind yourself of your walk on this earth and how to live more like Him. So the most important discipline in this is to pick a time to actually do it, is to apply it and say, you know, I'm going to try this thing. I'm going to try and write down these blessings each and every day. And maybe, just maybe, our kids or our grandkids will find those journals someday and just be amazed at what's in them, the wisdom that you've put in there for them or for yourself, but that they can glean from that. I believe that's why it was so important to the Jews to sit around and around that fire and have those conversations and remind them of the stories and why they were supposed to tell their children and to write them down. And he'd say, write it on your forehead and hang it around your neck and tell them when you're working and tell them when you're playing and when you're out doing the things you're doing. Just remind them of these incredible stories. I think it's important because we can leave our own mound of stones, you know? That's kind of neat to think about this idea that God says, hey, I want you to build this mound of stones so that when your people say, when your children go, what is the stones for? You can say, oh, that's when the Lord preserved his people, when he saved his people, made a way for the Ark of the Covenant to go right through the waters. And later on in that chapter, there's a couple other things for them to answer and remind themselves of. So leave a mound of stones. Leave a mound of stones. It's an incredible way to for reminders and for wisdom and examples of love. And it's a great story for those that we leave behind. So I think that spiritual discipline of journaling has gone a long ways from being an important process in anybody's life. And I want to encourage you to maybe start that, even if you start right now or you say, okay, 2019, moving forward, I'm going to do a much better job at that.